This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
We couldn't really have the last show of the year without discussing George Michael, because obviously he had a huge impact culturally on music. He was a huge pop icon, and we thought, what better way to discuss the legacy of this man than bring in one of Joy's most prolific pop connoisseurs.
He was prolific.
Prolific. I don't know if that's the right word. I was just trying to do alliteration, but I should write it down before trying to, freestyle it. We've got Leo Stubbing. He was a long-time producer and presenter on Sound Museum and Friday mornings, and also helped to, pioneer Joy 94.9's red carpet interviews at the Arias. Mm. Very, very important person. He was also the interview coordinator for all our music interviews for a while. So Leo's been a very integral part of the Joy family for a long time, and has had to move back to Auckland. We miss him dearly, but we've got him on the phone now. Welcome back to Joy 94.9, Leo Stubbing.
Hi, Stella. Hi, Meg. How are you going?
Hey, welcome back on air.
Thank you.
So, I know that you've been quite affected by the death of George Michael. What did his music and he mean to you?
I remember when I first bought the first album, which is of Wham, which is called Fantastic, back in the early 80s. And I remember seeing on all the credits and things, written, produced, arranged by George Michael. I thought, this guy has got a great voice, but also is a great producer and is really musical. I thought, this guy is really talented, and I really admire people that can do not just sing, but can also do everything else.
Yeah.
Mm. And that continued along through his Wham days into his own solo career. So he's just an amazing artist who can do pretty much anything.
That's right. I mean, I think around the world, the LGBTI community has been quite affected by George Michael's passing. What impact do you think his death has had on this community around the world?
I think even from the early Wham days, I mean, it was pop music, and I was, in school. I remember wearing a Wham T-shirt to school camp once. So even though back then I had no idea what gay meant or, what I was at that stage. But I think people that love pop music and the gay community love pop music. And I think they even realised back then that George Michael was a pioneer for great pop songs. If the amazing thing with his passing is that his legacy will continue. And I guess his songs and his albums and things would be like a masterclass for future musicians, future singers, people that want to know how to write that great pop song. I think the gay community, they know good music and they know good pop music. And, when George Michael came out with Outside as his coming out song, we all pretty much, I think pretty much everyone knew, but I think, him finally being embracing that side of his life and, the gay community accepting him and just saying, we're always there for you and ever since the early days. And it's just amazing to see that,
I think one of the interesting things also, Leo, is, yes, his music, without doubt, has been exceptional and has set a benchmark. What I really admired about George was his warts and all, that, let's say he was caught at a beat and, he then used that to talk about his sexuality and you know, this oh no, you know, we don't talk about beats, we don't talk about drug use, we don't talk about gay sex. And that what that did for so many gay guys, I think, and particularly gay guys with parents of different nationalities, and there was a piece in The Age today, written, I don't know if you've seen it, it's online by Brandon Cook, and there's just a paragraph which I thought was really interesting, and he said, "I'm a mixed heritage gay man with a Greek background. Though I love my family, I've been told not to harp on about my lifestyle when certain relatives are around. If ever there was a family wedding, it would be ill-advised for me to bring a date, and my grandmother is never to know about my sexuality." And I think, you know, for George, Greek Cypriot, you know, the family issues he faced, the community issues he faced, the standards that, you know, that he didn't, you know, the standards that he didn't want to conform to, sent a really strong message that I, you know, that's what I admire most about him. That it was warts and all.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite funny. Before we knew he was gay, as a Greek Australian, we loved the fact that he was Greek Cypriot. So he meant a lot to us. And I remember on the school bus, I used to go to a Greek Orthodox primary school. So the school bus would come and pick us up. And I remember we used to crank, I can't remember the name of the song now, but he says, "I'll be your preacher teacher." In it. But we always thought he was saying, "I'll be your Greek teacher," because we knew he was from a Greek background, and we couldn't believe that he put in a pop song that he wanted to teach, you know, at the time he was referring to a woman, how to speak Greek, and we were just so chuffed. We didn't realise that he was actually trying to seduce someone. Like, why would you stop halfway through a seduction to teach them grammar? That's not sexy. Or some people find that sexy, but...
Well, sounds all right to me.
But I think there's two... Let's conjugate some verbs, Macca. I think... There's two lots of community that have been affected here. I think as a sort of young Greek person living in the diaspora like George was, his death has affected us, but then also the Greek and gay community as well is also deeply affected. And, I mean, I just find it remarkable that he only released 6 albums and has had such a huge impact on the world. Leo, what can you tell us about that, being a pop connoisseur and knowing a lot about pop music, for someone to only release 6 albums and to have sold so many and be so influential, how did he do it? Why was he so influential?
I think with George, even from the early Wham days, it was quite evident that it was all about the music, you know, and the quality of the music and how it evolved over time was just amazing. I mean, the early Wham days were quite sort of, you know, street sort of cred and moving into Make It Big with Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go and stuff and everything. But, I mean, writing Careless Whisper, his debut solo single, as a 17-year-old with his Wham bandmate Andrew Ridgeley, that was co-written together, just that song is probably his defining song, especially internationally. But to write such an amazing song at 17 just goes to show what an amazing songwriter he was, what an amazing storyteller he was. And I think it doesn't matter how many albums you release over time, it's the quality. And the quality of the albums was just always above par. You know, there was never a dud moment in his work. You know, everything that he released meant something and educated, and people responded to that. And I think there's so many great singles. It's hard to sort of choose ones which, you know, define George, because there's so many songs which mean different things to different people. And that's the magic of a true artist, you know, to cross different genres and to different age brackets, straight, bi, trans, you know, gay. It doesn't matter, because, I mean, George, his music impacted everybody.
So, Leo, are you able to narrow down a couple of your favourite George Michael songs, or is it too hard?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to have to split it into Wham stuff.
Okay.
And George stuff. All right.
Here we go.
As far as Wham stuff goes, I guess one of my favourite Wham tracks, definitely hands down, is Everything She Wants, which is from their Make It Big album. Just a great pop song, you know. And I guess for longevity, and this song would be around for many generations to come, is Last Christmas. It's
of
corny
course,
that
yeah.
It's a Christmas song, but, you know, it was the first modern, I guess, Christmas song. I mean, it was number two for weeks and weeks and weeks in the UK at the time, and number one was Band Aid, who George also appeared on. Mm. So I don't think he would have minded that it was stuck at number two, you know. And at the time, all the proceeds from Last Christmas went to charity as well. So even back then, he was doing charity work. And I think as a solo artist, oh, my God, it's, where do you start?
Just name one.
I do have a soft spot for his second solo single, which is called A Different Corner, which is a beautiful ballad.
Oh, you know your stuff. Song,
yeah, but songs like One More Try and Father
yes.
Figure,
yep.
Playing for Time, Jesus to a Child, an amazing song. So, I mean, I don't know, but, I mean, judging by the charts this week, I mean, the other chart's going to be released tonight, but songs like Faith and Kiddush Bistro will be pretty high in the charts tonight and all over the world. But I guess Kiddush Bistro, even hearing that intro, that sax intro, everyone knows that song.
Yes, yep.
Young and old, you know. So what an amazing body work to
absolutely
bless
all right
generations.
Leo, thank you so much for your time. We hope you can get some solace out of listening to George's music. We want you back here in Melbourne at Joy. Come back to us soon. Thank you for joining us on Saturday Magazine to tell us about what George Michael meant to you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.